Thanks for asking, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry I missed you yesterday at Haluba.
Yeah,
but of course, things are a little tighter right now.
Yep.
Yeah. I think what Mike Tomlin, I think, said it best at one point. Nothing unexpected, but it's a freak show. So as you watch the play out between...
I didn't know he said that. That's funny.
He did say that. When you watch Micah Parsons and Jason Owe, what were some of the elements that were sticking out to you and the people you were with yesterday?
Well, you know, as I said on NFL Network yesterday, the headline is Micah Parsons. He's the headliner. He's the best player. But the day belonged to Jason Owe. And that's because Jason Owe is an absolute freak athlete. You know, and we knew that before Mike Tomlin said it, but it absolutely was cemented yesterday. I had multiple, and by multiple, I mean upwards of 10 or 12 of the talent evaluators on hand say almost the same thing to me about Owe. And that was only a handful of people on the planet can do what he can do, meaning at his size and at that skill level, of course. So Owe was an unbelievable workout warrior yesterday, and I don't believe he's just that, by the way. I don't believe he's just that, and I think he will very much appeal to the guy who says, let me see what a player has, and we can coach the rest out of him. And he'll be coached in the NFL, and he'll have to go to a teaching organization. I hope he goes to a really good defensive line coach and defensive coordinator who has some imagination, perhaps some patience, and understands the kind of athlete and the commitment that he will make in terms of being a great NFL player. Micah's a different story. Micah yesterday, the most important thing Micah did yesterday was run a 4.440. I know it wasn't in Indianapolis. None of them are in Indianapolis this year. And I understand that at home turfs, the numbers can be a little bit different, turf to turf, you know, as we'd move around maybe the college game and the facilities in the college game. That being said, Micah Parsons, at his size, with his range, with his ability to do a lot of different things for an NFL team, whether they run a 3-4 or a 4-3 defense, at 4-4, he did everything he needed to do. And Steve, I said this yesterday on the network. At one point, Micah was slipping a little bit. It seemed to those of us watching, his cleats weren't doing him any favors at during the three cone and some other drills. And I was standing next to a very high profile person who was there in person yesterday. And the person looked at me and said, "I want to walk onto the field right now and tell Micah, stop doing the cones. Do the drills, and you ran a 4.4. That's all we need to see from you." So I think Micah enhanced what they already thought, and I thought Jason Owe opened some eyes. Pat Freiermuth is someone that the NFL loves. The best news from him was that he will be ready in short order in terms of from the shoulder surgery. He told me it will not affect the NFL, period, meaning the day he's drafted, he expects that shoulder to already be fine. So I thought it was just a really good day all around for the Penn State guys.
In fact, I think Pat's shoulders, I think another 1 to 2 weeks out, and he's 100.
Yeah, that's essentially what he said. I always add time on, though, Steve, because I think that, you know, guys want to be back. Pat obviously is a guy who doesn't want to sit out, but I always add a few weeks on, but he's still going to be okay with that as the measurement.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and the draft's a month away, so that's four weeks out. So,
right.
I mean,
exactly.
That's plenty
that's
of time
saying.
For him.
Yep. Oh, and by the way, Shaka Toney helped himself, and he did my interview. They all did interviews with me, which I was grateful for. Micah's was unbelievable. If you didn't see it, it's on Kim Jones Sports on my Twitter. Micah in particular, amazing, because Micah is the biggest personality you'll see, maybe since LeVar. I don't know. I don't know that for sure, and you're closer to it than I am, Steve. But I talked to LeVar the day before about Micah. They're close. LeVar does see some similarities. LeVar also said to me, you know, he's likely going to outdo my pro career, and we all know that didn't turn out as LeVar wanted it to, but he was certainly a legend at Penn State, so that was high praise from LeVar. But Shaka Toney gets lost in the shuffle. He kind of smiled and said, I'm surrounded by freaks. You know, I do the best I can, but several people told me Shaka helped himself, especially coming off a Senior Bowl where he also opened some eyes. So good for Shaka Toney, because he could very well land with the right NFL team and have a nice career.
Yeah, he ran 4.51 yesterday.
Yep.
He had lost some weight because of COVID, and he's bounced back nicely. I'll go to Parsons. The 4.39 he ran. Now this is where Oway and Parsons push each other, as you know, Kim.
Yep.
They're very close. And they're very competitive with each
other. Same agents. They train together. Yep. Whole thing. Yep.
Yep. 4.39 was important because he ran 4.41. The last time number that I knew about. He wanted badly to crack the 4.4 number just for personal reasons. And by the way, on the cone drill, I agree with whomever said that to you. I think when you didn't play the past season, he probably wanted to show everybody because he didn't play. But I agree with whomever. You did your deal. You ran your 4.39. You're in good shape.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, a 4.4 for a guy his size, 246 pounds, you already know he's a fluid athlete because we got to see that. I said to Daniel Jeremiah, who's one of my favorite colleagues at NFL Network, we were talking about Micah earlier on this offseason, and I said, watch the Cotton Bowl from 2019, you will think he's the best prospect in this draft. I probably should have said best prospect besides quarterbacks because the NFL's obsessed with them for obvious reasons, but... Daniel kind of laughed, and I think he's probably too busy to sit down and watch a bowl game at the moment, but I would stand by that. If you watch that Cotton Bowl and you watch what Micah did in that game, you would truly believe as a defensive coordinator that you are almost unlimited in the ways you can use him. And for some teams, smart teams and well-run teams, that should be and will be very attractive.
Well, you mentioned LeVar.
Yep.
LeVar moved closer to the line of scrimmage. At one point at Penn State, as you and I know, he actually was a safety for a short period of time and moved closer. Micah has had to move back into space compared to where he was in high school. This is where player development comes in, and a guy has to be smart enough to work on player development. Evidently, he has because he's become that kind of player you talked about in the Cotton Bowl. By moving away from the line of scrimmage, which is not a normal progression.
Right. I mean, he was a defensive end in high school, so he was used to that kind of flow, if you will, and running back, of course, which he gave a hilarious answer because James told me that he could have been a running back at Penn State and had the same level of success and readiness for the NFL. And, you know, Micah said that hurt him because, you know, he always wanted to play running back, as we know. But, unfortunately with COVID, I think that was an opportunity missed, but that's a story for another day. As far as LeVar goes, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, as a then Redskin, because that was the team name when he played for them, LeVar was asked, to cover Santana Moss, and I believe that might have been in the Miami-Penn State game. Actually, he was teammates with Santana, I think. So I think that was in the Miami-Penn State game. He had to cover Santana Moss at times. I mean, you know, with both, I mean, LeVar to me is a little more explosive, which is what I said to LeVar.
And it's true.
And I told LeVar, I think that's the only place where he gets Micah. Now, he doesn't love that. But he did say that deceptively, Micah is good at everything. He has the speed, he has the range, he is explosive. And he gave him some other compliments as well along those same adjective lines. So, you know, I do think it's interesting only because... having covered LeVar and having met Micah now, I just find it interesting. They're also slightly different body types. I think LeVar's a little bit longer. I do find it interesting. It's probably not all that relevant except to us Penn Staters, but it's kind of fun to look at, linebacker U is still turning them out without trouble.
And then there's Owe. And by the way, one quick note on Micah. I did mention this yesterday. I'm not going to get into the name of the walk-on player. But we were standing on the sideline one day, and Micah just comes by and he goes, "Hey, Mr. Jones, how are you?" You know, and he was doing kickoff, right?
Right.
And he comes walking by, and the player that was injured looked over at me and he said, "You know what? I didn't know what he was going to be like when he got here. See, he came in with a lot of hype, fanfare." He says he's one of the greatest guys I've ever been around. So it's it tells you that if you have a preconceived notion about somebody, it can be dispelled rather quickly.
Right.
Owe 6'5", 257.
Yep.
This is only his fifth year of organized football.
Yes.
Now, I realize the NFL wants as many ready-made guys as possible. So I want to get back to your point about the ability to coach this guy up. When you hear that it's only his fifth year and you see what he has accomplished, what do you think?
Well, you know, I would still defer to the guys I talked to yesterday, because what they would say is he has what you can't teach. Their job is to teach. I mean, even at the NFL level, their job is still to teach and develop. And there are a lot of coaches who subscribe to the idea, you know, don't tell me what a player can't do, tell me what he can do. So if you apply that to Jason Owe, he can do an awful lot of things that are innate, he's blessed with, that you cannot find. You can't just find his skills. He also has 34.5-inch arms, by the way, which, as silly as this is going to sound, might have been the measurement yesterday that most wowed people. That's offensive tackle arm length. And you can imagine, as he engages with a tackle or whatever he needs to do, but as he is in combat, essentially, on a football field, how much that arm length can benefit him. And I asked him about the measurements as well. He was thrilled with the broad jump at 11.2 because he had never reached 11 feet before, so he easily had, you know, a personal best there. And for me, second behind the arm length was the 39.5-inch vertical, which if a cornerback does that, you're wild. You know, and this is a 257-pound, you know, defensive end. I mean, he's just amazing, and I do think, listen, there would be a few organizations I wouldn't want him to go to, but there are a lot of good coaches in this league, and there are a lot of good defensive line and defensive coordinators, defensive line coaches and defensive coordinators. And again, they will find ways to use a player like that to help him use his great skill level, his great ability, and actually get to the quarterback. And at the NFL level, he will have players around him that will also help him in that regard.
And his best days are ahead of him.
Oh, no doubt. There's no doubt about.
Right. Always a pleasure. It was great to just know that you were back in town. I'm sure you enjoyed the opportunity to be back as well. But thanks so much for the time, as always.
Thanks, Steve, very much. Have a great day.